I'm pleased to welcome back the voice of the racers, Neil Bradley. Neil, thanks for being on Sounds Good.
Hey, glad to be here. Happy 2014.
Thank you very much. We've got some catching up to do. The last time we spoke was on the eve of the Western Kentucky game, and the racers lost that one in Bowling Green 71-64.
It was the first game where the racers had T.J. Sapp available, I believe, and had just a fabulous game, made threes to help keep the racers in it. And Murray State, I think, built a 14-point lead in the first half. Western had cut that down a bit by halftime. And in the second half, still held the lead or was right in the game. And it held their leading scorer, T.J. Price, scoreless till the 12-minute mark of the second half. And then Price hit a bucket, and he went off at that point. I think he ended with 16 points. And the racers' lack of depth really showed up at that point, especially inside depth. The guys that Western has on the inside, they just couldn't handle him. And that, George Fant, we just really had no match for him. We had Jonathan Farrell, but his foul trouble keeps him from getting meaningful minutes in there. And still having an issue with that. So Western pulled away, won that. You know, to me, I think they're a team they're going to win the Sun Belt. They're going to be 20-plus win team in the NCAA tournament, provided they win the Sun Belt tournament. I don't think they're going to be good enough as far as out-of-conference wins to get an at-large bid. But that's a quality loss. You don't like losing to Western, but that's not going to be a bad one.
8 days later, we travel to Dayton, Ohio, and were soundly beaten by Dayton, 72-51.
Yeah, racers were, I guess you would call, within striking distance of that game for the most part till the final 10 minutes. Dayton went on a bit of a run with some defensive lapses and turnovers that turned that from about an 8 to 10-point lead to an 18 or 19-point lead. At that point, the racers were done. But it was kind of a sloppy game for the racers for the most part. Sometimes you get those post-Christmas. Every coach crosses their fingers and hopes they don't have those. One of the worst racer games I've ever seen post-Christmas. Popeye Jones, senior year, go to Missouri, expecting to give them quite a game, lost by 40 points. Yeah, so it does happen sometimes. And this was one of those. And the thing that I wondered is, how are they going to react from this? Because they got thumped. They got out-rebounded. The rebounding was just horrendous in that contest. And so how are they going to do that? Are they going to sulk, hang their heads, or are they going to come back, get to work, and maybe have something good happen in the OVC?
Well, they definitely have kicked off 2014 in style, and they began on January 2nd as they took out Southeast Missouri 82-75.
A really good game. The racers got off to a great start. Cameron Payne draining threes. The racers, I think, up 10-0 before Southeast Missouri dented the scoreboard. And they really could never overcome that. Payne just had a fabulous game. So did Jarvis Williams. He's been fabulous in OVC play to this point with another double-double. And I think his 18 rebounds, that is a record-tying total for the CFSB center that Jarvis had in that contest. And, the Southeast Missouri team, I thought they were probably right with the racers as the team to beat. When the racers lost Zay Jackson, I thought that probably pushed them a little bit ahead of Murray State. So that's a huge win to take them down. But I tell you what, we did see that Jerikus Bradley from Southeast Missouri was just fabulous in that contest. He's going to be a load to deal with. But for Southeast Missouri, the problem, they just didn't get it done defensively. And that's where I've seen the greatest area of improvement for the racers in the last few weeks.
They followed that up with a victory over UT Martin on the 5th, 91-77.
Yeah, that was one of those. I know it was a 14-point game, but it was one where the racers never could get that one spurt they needed to put it away to a 20-plus point win, and Martin never could get that spurt to get it tied or take the lead. Some sloppy play in that one at times as far as turnovers go, but the racers playing well enough. Cameron Payne and Jarvis Williams, again, good games one more time. And so far they've established themselves as maybe two of the top contenders for player of the year in the league, along with probably Jerikus Bradley. But Martin, a good opponent. They have enough players who shoot the ball to make it interesting. And the racers in that game had some problems with some pressure that Martin put on in the second half. Turned it over a few times when it looked as if the racers were going to blow it out maybe to 16, 18 points. Turned around and Martin cut it right back to 8. So some things they needed to work out. But it's good to be exposed and still get the win. And that was an impressive win to get. In a game when they don't play well, get a 14-point victory, not bad.
Not bad at all. And then Wednesday night, is this the most impressive win of the year, going to Richmond, knocking off Eastern Kentucky 77-64? The Racers never trailed.
Yeah, I have to admit, even as the Racer play-by-play guy, you know, you look at the schedule and go, there may be a few that'll be tough to win. That's one I had marked. That's going to be very tough to go into Eastern Kentucky. They shoot it well. They had a 9-game winning streak at home. They hadn't been beaten there this season. Had been really shooting the ball well, but kind of got, I guess, punched in the nose, figure of speech, against SIU Edwardsville the Saturday before. Gave up 58% shooting to the Cougars, and that lack of defense continued as the Racers able to exploit them. The Racers shot the ball well. They attacked inside, did well with Jarvis Williams inside. Dexter Fields, who'd been struggling from the outside, made 3 big three-pointers in the first half. Had a big breakout game for him. And the Racers pick up a big victory. There may not be anyone else who goes in there and picks up a win against Eastern Kentucky, other than, you know, Morehead State might have a shot whenever they meet at EKU, since that's a rival game. But that's a big win that most teams in the league are not going to be able to get.
So that pulls the Racers' record to 8-7 on the season. And, of course, they're undefeated at 3-0 in the OVC. So, Neil, at this point in the year, are you happy with the Racers' progress?
Yes, I am. I think when I'd been on the show earlier, we mentioned that this might be a team that, because, you know, they lose Zay Jackson, it's going to take a while to kind of get their feet under them. They had a freshman point guard. You figure by the end of January, early February, perhaps they'd be a team that would gel into a contender in the OVC. That's happened soon enough. They're a contender in the OVC as we're speaking right now. They're playing confidently. They've improved in the two areas where they really need to improve, and that's defensively and also rebounding. As we head into this weekend's play, they're plus 13 in rebounding margin. That's unheard of in conference play, and I don't know if that will continue, but if it does, they're going to win virtually every game when they're plus 10 or more.
TJ Sapp, have his contributions been as great as you anticipated?
They really have. He's shot it better than I thought. Based on everything that I had seen, I was guessing you'd get 12, 13 points a game from TJ, but he's been a little bit above that. He's still having problems, I think, with speed of the game. If you'll take a look at his assist-to-turnover ratio, kind of rushes things, tries to make the pass that he doesn't need to make when a lesser one will do at some point. But I think that's all in the settling down period. I mean, he hadn't played in a year, and so he's still trying to figure it out in terms of settling in with the team. But he's made remarkable progress, and I think it's very easy to see they're a much better team with him on the floor. And at the moment, I know I've been asked, is he going to start at some point? And who knows, at some point he may. But I think Steve Prohm, he likes having that offensive punch coming off the bench, because if Sapp starts, then, you know, if you bring Farrell off the bench or something like that, you have no offense to come off the bench. There is none of that little instant burst that you can get. And I think Coach Prohm likes that. TJ, he's a team guy. He seems to be cool with not starting it, you know, this season. Likely a starter next season, though.
And finally, let's preview tomorrow night's game at the CFSB Center. It's Austin Peay coming to town.
Yeah, this is really a program that under Dave Luce the last 2 years, in his role as athletic director and head basketball coach, they've struggled. Back-to-back 20-loss seasons for Austin Peay. I mean, that's unheard of. I don't ever remember that happening. I know they had a few years where they had struggled from time to time. Early in Luce's career, actually. But he really had the train going. They're the winningest team in the 2000s in the Ohio Valley Conference in terms of number of wins. They really got it done. That was sort of their decade, as they were good the entire time. But the back-to-back 20-loss seasons after last year, Coach Luce decided he's going to cut ties as the AD. He's just going to do basketball. And I think it's really paid off for them. They have one of the most dynamic big men in the league in Chris Horton. He averages 14.3 points per contest. He's a double-digit rebounder at 10.2. That's going to be a mouth-watering matchup between he and Jarvis Williams, who also averages a double-double. Travis Beatran can shoot it, and Will Triggs. So they have three guys, and also Xavion Williams, who's averaging double digits as well. The thing they really missed last year was a point guard, and finally they have one. And Dede Smith, who takes care of that, I think Demarius is his actual name, but he's finally the guy they need that'll get up to the scores, and that's where they're the best. They're not a deep team, but the first five, six guys that they'll put out there, they're really good. This should be a classic Murray State-Austin Peay matchup, Tracy.
The voice of the Racers, Neil Bradley, thanks for dropping by.
Glad to be here.